I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's 3M Open. And joining me to break it all down, it's Kyle Porter, KP. What's up?
Well, I hope my wife is not listening because I am supposed to be watching my kids right now. I don't know where they're at. I don't know what they're. Also, my wife's not listening to a round one recap of the 3M Open. So
how old's the oldest?
8.
Oh, you're in so. We got to get you out of here. You're in so much trouble.
There's anything
right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We don't have a swimming pool, so we're good there. But yeah, anything could be going on. It's a true who can say situation.
Well, who can say who's at the top of the leaderboard? And I know exactly who's at the top of the leaderboard, producer Jacob, because his name is Ricky Fowler.
Ricky Fowler.
Yes, wear it out. Ricky Fowler goes out bogey-free 64, in which he gained 4 strokes putting KP, which is kind of like, I mean, that's his weapon. That's what he does. It frees up the rest of the game. But we're starting to see Ricky play a little bit better, maybe turning back form a little bit.
Yeah, I think normally you and I with a putting round like this would be like, wait a second here. You know, what's going on? But I actually think with Fowler that it's an encouragement. Correct. Right? Now, are you going to gain 4 strokes around with a putter? No, you're not. Nobody's going to. But for him, that was such a weak spot. Really, I was looking back through his tournaments. It was kind of the end of 2020 and into the spring of 2021. It was just bad. And it's gotten better recently. So if he wins this tournament or if he contends in this tournament, he's going to have to do it a little bit differently than he did on Thursday. But I just think confidence wise, it's got to be great for him because he only has 1 top 10, Rick, since the 2020 Farmers, that's astounding. I mean, that's just, I know he's, you know, kind of been not that great, but 1 top 10 in basically 18 months is just, that's not where he should be living.
It's not even the fact that it was his weak spot. It's that he was good. That was his weapon. That was the best part of his game. Then he lost it, which puts so much stress on everything else that you're trying to accomplish. So yes, I am encouraged. It's going to end up being the second best putting round for him since the start of 2015. So it's not going to happen again, but it is encouraging because he's starting to get back on that right track and he can let the rest of his game, or he doesn't have to be so perfect everywhere else.
Do you see any Jason Day in there? You know, I know we've talked about Day before where it's best putter in the world and then it drops off a little bit. And, you know, I think Ricky's a better iron player than Jason Day, just broadly over the course of his career. But I don't know. I think there's a little bit of that in there of once you lose your confidence a little bit, the strokes gain is just, it doesn't look good over a couple of years. And then all of a sudden you're not really contending in any events.
Yeah, Jason Day told us that, right? And it's basically like, okay, well, now I know I'm struggling with the flat stick. I better hit this one close. Like, I better hit it on the right side. And when you start thinking, oh boy, I better do this or I better not miss here, you're cooked. You got no chance out there. Golf is more mental than it is physical.
Well, and I think that's a really great point because, you know, when you're when you have confidence with the putter, even if it almost doesn't matter what your numbers say, as long as you have confidence,
right? Doesn't matter if you're good, actually good or not.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it's a self-fulfilling deal. Right. And it just frees you up to just pound greens. To your point, you don't have to go at these flat. You don't have to miss on, you don't have to get short-sighted because you're trying to hit it to 10 feet every time. And once you start doing that and you get short-sighted, that's when you bring it's just so hard to win tournaments like that unless you're, you know, Colin Morikawa and you hit every flag stick that you look at.
Yes, that is not the usual blueprint for PGA Tour victories. Also, with an opening round 64, Troy Merritt, which featured a 30, that's 6 under par on his back nine, which was the back nine. And after 2 missed cuts for Merritt, he is popping up again. We just saw him finish runner-up at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, now popping up here potentially at the 3M. This is like Troy Merritt season, right? Like late summer, couple of these events where the stars are taking off. Rack up your points, rack up your cash, see what you can do.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Troy Merritts out there, right? It's Cameron Tringali who's on this board. It's Adam Shank who's on this board. It's Scott Stallings who's on this board. You kind of put all those guys in the same type of bucket, which is don't really win, but they're in the top 125 every year, you know? And so yeah, for them it's about like, man, can I go win a tournament? Right. Because I don't know where all those guys are at in the FedEx Cup, but that's kind of a theme on the top of this board is like, there's just not, other than Ricky, there's not a lot of guys that have won very much over the course of their career. And that's probably kind of to be expected at the 3M in a little bit weaker field, but it's such an opportunity for, like we saw last year with Michael Thompson, to kind of change the trajectory of your, maybe not what people think about you, but at least your career a little bit.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that friend of the pod, Scott Stallings, was scorching hot, which, by the way, he's never actually been on the pod, but
yeah, he's
honorary.
He's my go-to for the average PGA Tour player.
Well, if he wins, maybe he can get off from being the average PGA Tour player. Was scorching hot, and then he got the weather delay. There was a 2-hour and 21-minute weather delay on Thursday, and he ends up making an ugly double on 18, which is so strange because it's one of the easiest holes on the golf course, and guys still find a way to dunk one or two in the water there.
Yeah, that's he finished 4-3, 5-2, 7, which is not your water. I mean, the back nine is a circus. 3-3, 4-2, 4-3, 5-2, 7. It looks like it looks like the passcode to your iPhone or something. It's not a great fit. Hey, I was thinking about this. Who you did this, I think it was earlier this year. You looked up who was like the most average PGA Tour player? Didn't you do that? Was
yeah,
that
I did. Yeah. Who was it? It was, God, it was somebody was within like a 10th of a stroke of zero in all four major categories and was like a zero strokes game player. And I cannot remember who it was,
but it wasn't Stallings, right?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. I was thinking for a second, I was thinking it was him, which would be hilarious. Cause he's always my like go-to guy.
Yeah. He was basically, I think when he became your go-to guy, he was like the random 100th ranked player in the world type deal. It might have been...
That basically describes this leaderboard, by the way.
God, I don't know who it is.
The random 100th ranked player in the world.
I'll figure it out. I don't know.
Did you see my boy Chez is 4 under through 11?
Yeah, so he might spoil this whole leaderboard and this whole fact that we're going live before this round is actually open because he chipped in, I believe, for Eagle on 18, or did he roll it in? Oh, no, he chipped in, or it was on the fringe. And he made bogey on number one as he made the turn, so we might be safe on him ending up being the leader here. But Reavy, was he on your betting card?
Yeah, he was. I had him and Tringali to top 20, and then Sergio to top 10. So I feel decent after round one.
Yeah, Tringali 4 under 67, Sergio T57, 1 under par, has a little bit of work to do. Plenty of rounds to go. I was very impressed with Louis Oosthuizen on Thursday.
Yeah,
3 under 68, which if he would have came out, shot 2 over today, and shot like 1 under on Friday and missed the cut, I would have been like, yep. That's exactly like no problem whatsoever. Wouldn't have knocked him for it. Wouldn't have done anything. There is an argument. Okay. is Louis like the fourth best player on tour this season or third?
I don't hold on. I'm looking for where's our boy Norman Chong? Oh, he shot even par.
He was even okay. When I saw it. Yeah.
That's not, I mean, it's not great. It's not terrible. Is Louis the fourth best player on tour?
Where does he rank? Like
this is such a philosophical question about how do you define best, right? Because right. I had so many people, I tweeted this out on Wednesday. I said, Louis Oosthuizen lost to four guys over the last three majors, and Phil lost to 212, and one of them won a trophy, and the other guy didn't. And people are like, well, yeah, that's how golf works. And it's like, well, yeah, man, I get that it's how trophy presentations work, but is anybody that rationally follows this stuff, does anybody think that Phil is better at golf than Louis? You know? And so that's a little bit of the question of, you could probably make an argument that Louis had a better statistical year than a Colin Morikawa, but it's hard to say that he's better, you know? So I think it just, and this is why golf is so fun to argue about, because in sports in general, but especially golf, because wins are so weirdly rated by people. Right. Like they're kind of overrated, but then they're kind of underrated a little bit. Like we don't know what to do with the wins, I think, a lot of the time. Again, if you're like rational about it. And so Louis hasn't won, but he's been just like an audit, like just automatic, you know, especially for the last 3 or 4 months. So I think you're right. I think he's like a top five player in the world right now, but he also hasn't won. So I'm not sure how to kind of reconcile those two things.
If you just go by pure strokes gained total this season, John Rahm is number one. Xander Schauffele is number two. Patrick Cantlay is number three. Brooks is four. Louis is five. And then it's Morikawa and DeChambeau. I mean,
where's is Spieth? Oh, is that going back to the start of?
Yeah. So if you go to the start, that's the start of the season. If you go to the start of 2021, it is actually Spieth number one, Rahm number two, Morikawa, Cantlay, Koepka, Louis. What's that? Seven.
Okay. So yeah, and I mean, I think your argument would be against Louis would be like if he does. And he kind of does do this, but like I was going to say the Paul Casey thing where he doesn't really do it. Well, Paul Casey is a bad example. Louis is not doing the lion's share of his strokes gained work in non-majors, right? He's doing it at the best events.
That's true.
And I think that works in his favor. But again, like it's a little bit of the Koepka thing of like he also doesn't win regular PGA Tour of it. I guess Koepka is probably the better comp there of contends at majors but doesn't really win regular PGA Tour events that you would think that he would have a really good chance to win.
I love golf. Golf is weird. Okay, here's what we're going to do. William Hill has updated the odds to win the 3M Open. We're going to look at those, and we are going to wildly speculate about how this is going to finish. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
And we're back. Ricky Fowler is the favorite to win the 3M Open. He is 7-1 over at William Hill. Troy Merritt is 12-1. Chez Reavy, 16-1, along with Louis Oosthuizen. Pretty good number on Cam Tringale, 18-1. And then Dustin Johnson, who shot one under par. So he's going to be 6 shots off the lead, is still 20-1. We might be going too far on DJ.
Did you see DJ's quote?
What was it? I cannot wait to hear a DJ quote.
So I didn't tweet this out. So his brother Austin is not caddying for him this week because he got COVID and had to go home. So he's got the TaylorMade, I want to get this right, VP of Tour Operations. Can't remember his name, but that's okay. who's caddying for him. And apparently he's caddied for him before. And he said, somebody asked him, how did it work out? And he said, well, we did pretty well. I mean, I hit the wrong club on a bunch of holes, but that was probably my fault. And I was like, wait a second. One, like, how does – you're the number two player in the world. Two, do you hit the wrong club with Austin? Right. How often does that happen? And three, you gained like 2.5 strokes on approach shots.
Yeah, he was great.
So I mean, it's a very – that like that whole situation is very DJ. But I do think – I think the reason he's 20-1 is because his name is Dustin Johnson. But the reason I don't think it's a terrible play is because the thing that he's been doing poorly is his iron play hasn't been very good in 2021. And that's what he actually did well on Thursday. He just didn't make any putts. The driving wasn't kind of up to DJ standard. So I think there could be a number in there for him on Friday.
Doesn't Austin help him read putts?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know what they're doing on the greens. I never know.
There's a great I think it's Alan Shipnuck where I think it was a Horschel. He got Horschel on Austin and DJ, and Horschel said he was like playing with them, and Austin was trying to get a number, and DJ was like, he can't add, and then he just hit anyway. Like this whole, I'll tweet it out because it's. It's an incredible story. If it was anybody other than DJ, you wouldn't believe it. And with DJ, you're like, that sounds about right.
Last thing, Ricky Fowler 7-1. Can you bet that? Would you bet that? Is he going to win this golf tournament?
No, I wouldn't bet it because of the way he put his round together. You can't bet a guy that has won top 10 in the last 18 months and just was automatic with his putter on Thursday. I think that should be more like 12-1, 10-1, something like that. I think Gustason's interesting.
So do
at 16.
Really, I'm really impressed with Louis. I cannot wait to see what he does on Friday. I hope he just does just another 16.
He said on Wednesday that he's like, I didn't want to take the week off and just think about the Open. I kind of just wanted to get back out there. So I thought that was an encouraging quote.
I love it. That'll do it. Round one recap in the books. Round two coming up Friday evening and after each subsequent round. KP, that's Kyle Porter. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. Go find your children. Producer Jacob does all the hard work behind the scenes. Thank you very much. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. Catch you next time.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.